Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern on the 26th of June, 2020. I am your host, Mark Snyder, and we are going to be talking about the Billy Meier case today. Edward Albert Meier is a man who is in his 80s. He lives maybe 35 to 37 kilometers east of Zurich in a tiny mountain village that they call Hinterschmidruti, behind Schmidruti. There are beautiful pine trees there and snow-covered mountains. And a building there they call the Semyase Silver Star Center, which was kind of dedicated to Billy's third contact, a woman named Semyase, that he would speak with in the 70s. In fact, she would land her disc in clearings, and Billy would drive his moped out to where she was, and they would sit down out in the open in the beginning and speak. And during that time, it's very interesting that Colonel Wendell Stevens and a private investigations group would come out and go into Switzerland with Wendell, and they would meet and they would do tests of the photographs and tests of the sound recordings and talk to people there and get an idea of what was going on there in Switzerland and was it real, and they would check the photographs and see were these really large objects at some distance. And so there were a lot of kind of interesting testing that went on. Colonel Wendell Stevens has an interesting background. He was in charge of B-29s that were flying out of Alaska and going up over the North Pole, and they were filming discs that would land up on the polar ice caps up there. And these films went on to the Pentagon, but Colonel Stevens never really got to see them. So he eventually became a UFO investigator and focused on contactee cases and came across the Meier case, and eventually became very enamored with it and very convinced that it was real. And I don't spend a whole lot of time on the show on this aspect of the story, but there is a very interesting movie out there called Contact, where you'll get some of this interaction back and forth as it goes on. But today people come to the center from all over the world not just because Billy is met with extraterrestrial humans who look pretty much exactly like us, but I think most people are attracted to the spiritual teaching. And to understand that, I think you have to understand reincarnation. The human spirit form of the human being reincarnates. The spirit form is the spiritual consciousness. And 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form comes out of the spirit realm and goes into the brain of the child, which is, you know, a fetus at this point, only 21 days. It looks pretty much like a human being to a degree anyway at that young age. But the spirit form enters into the superior colliculus, so the middle brain. And my understanding is that that's kind of in the brain where everything comes together, the thinking, the the visual aspects, the hearing, all sorts of things there. And the spirit form of the typical Earth human being is about 4.5 million years old. There are older spirit forms on the Earth that are between 8 and 12 million years. And these are people that came to the Earth on ships from other star systems and died and have entered into the reincarnational patterns of Earth. Now, the thing about reincarnation at our level of evolution is we typically don't recall our previous lives. Now, occasionally, particularly when people have died at a relatively young age, say from, you know, from one day old to maybe in the early 20s, if they died in a traumatic way, sometimes for one reason or another, the trauma of that experience will cause the child to remember what has happened in the previous life. And there's an interesting story. Gosh, I should have ordered that book a long time ago. But it's about a young boy that had very strong memories of being trapped inside an airplane and burning. And not only that, he had tremendous detailed memory. He knew he was flying a Corsair. And this is a four-year-old kid. He knew he flew off of a smaller carrier called the Potomac Bay. He knew that he remembered when he was landing his Corsair that the tires would blow out at times. He remembered the names of the other officers that he actually served with, the other pilots' names. He remembered that he was shot down by anti-aircraft fire. He goes on and on and on. All these things that he remembered. And what's interesting, no one in his family had been an aviator during World War II. This was not any kind of genetic memory type thing. People like to write reincarnation off by speaking about genetic memory, which there's some truth to the genetic memory. But in this case, this young boy went and he got to visit the actual men he served with. It was very, very interesting. And then after that, he grew up pretty normal. Typically after about 9 or 10, the kids will reorient to this life and let go of the old trauma and then go on, and they even will forget things from the previous life. And there's a lot of really interesting work by Dr. Ian Stevenson about reincarnation, which I really need to get back to because that's some very important work. It's called reincarnationresearch.com. I believe you can go out to and learn about that. But I was talking about Billy Meyer and how to understand the case, you have to understand reincarnation, because when Billy was a young boy growing up, even farther north in Bulak, Switzerland, he started getting these telepathic messages from a man named Svath, who would eventually land a silvery pear-shaped craft in a place not that far from young Billy's home, and Billy would eventually go up in the ship with Svath and go up to around 70,000 meters in kind of an Earth orbit. And the interesting thing that Svath, one of the many interesting things that Svath told Billy, is that he had been in his previous lives Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in each one of these other lives, he taught this teaching of the spirit, which is, you know, I think he's written over 40 books now. Some of the books include the Talmud of Emmanuel by Judas Iscariot, and Billy has written many descriptions in this, and we're going to read a little bit from that this afternoon. Mach der Gedanken, the Might of Thoughts, The Way to Live, The Art of Leben, The Psyche, Kelch der Wahrheit, The Goblet of Truth, and many, many, many other books. And the reason he's writing all these books is because in his spirit form is a tremendous amount of information about the spiritual teachings. And that's the purpose for his incarnation on the earth. And the reason Spoth contacted him is because these Plearn people have the ability, the technical ability, to identify a spirit form within a person. And they can actually tell. There's an interesting contact report. I'll have to pull that out sometime. And I forget exactly who they were studying at this point. But the Plearn were studying some well-known person on the earth who was in their material consciousness, very afraid of death, but they're in the spiritual consciousness, not afraid of death at all. And it was an interesting that they could not get the thinking to the point where they could see the difference between the two points of view. I have to look that up because hopefully I'm not forgetting something or confusing something. But now the interesting thing about Spoth and Billy was Spoth, who was almost 1,000 years old at this point, who was here to mentor Billy for the first 11 years of his life, had been mentored in a previous life by a man named Noko Damian, who was one of the predecessor personalities of Billy. Well, I should say, let me say this, that Billy has been this spiritual teacher named Noko Damian, as well as the other prophets that I mentioned earlier. I forget exactly which one he was, or which material consciousness, which predecessor personality, which Vorganger actually taught Spoth. But it's interesting that relationship, you know, had been, and the teacher and student had been switched in a previous life, which is extremely interesting. So to understand the importance of Billy's books and why they have credibility, I think it helps to get the whole backstory, the whole picture of that, and in terms of the age of Billy's spirit form is something like 9.6 billion years old. I mentioned earlier that typically the Earth human's spirit form is 4.5 million years. Well, Billy's is 9.6 billion years, but it gets a little difficult to exactly tell the age of that spirit form because it's actually been out of the physical into the higher spiritual planes, which is like the seventh stage of evolution. So, you know, it's kind of hard to gauge that age. But he has been Noko Damian in previous lives, and he's taught on one of the planets he was a teacher on, I believe it's called Sadar, and it was in a different galaxy than our Milky Way galaxy. And I don't even think that galaxy even exists still. If you can imagine what it's like to remember this fantastic world and this, all these tremendous people, and to know that that world is not there anymore, and the galaxy is not even there anymore, which I imagine is something you really have to experience to really appreciate. But I wanted to talk or read a little bit in the book of the Talmud of Emmanuel, and it talks a little bit. We've been talking about children for the past couple of days, particularly how children are very, very interested and they have a very strong curiosity. And that's very important. And unfortunately, it's kind of suppressed because of our religions and because of our school system. And it really kind of screws us up here on the earth, because we should always be striving. That's one of creational natural law, striving to learn particularly. So let me read here. It says, then children were brought to him, and this is to Emmanuel, so that he would lay his hands on them and bless, dedicate them. But two of the disciples rebuked the mothers to take the children away. However, Emmanuel spoke, let the children be and do not hinder them from coming to me, because they are most attentive listeners, and theirs is the realm of wisdom. And he laid his hands upon them and said, take in, learn the knowledge and the wisdom to become those who are spiritually in consciousness, close to understanding. Those who begin to understand and the true followers of the laws and recommendations of the creation. Now, the creation is our universe. Our universe has a consciousness and intelligence, and it's a kind of a being. Our universe is a Wesenheit, which has, in terms of its life, is more like stone, sand, water, certain energies, gases. It's a different kind of being. It doesn't have so much free will, that much of a free will, the creation, because it's bound to the teaching and to the powers and to the laws of a higher consciousness called the Ur-creation. And the Ur-creation created our creation out of its idea, which occurred 46 trillion years ago, when there was something called the Zohar, the Big Bang, and our universe came into being. Well, we also have a sister universe called the Tao universe, which also came into being at that time. So, though the creational natural laws of our universe, the universe has to follow its own laws, so it's kind of inhibited as far as its free will. And some of those laws quickly would be the law of love, which would be brotherly love, which is effective love, which means love and live and help live. It's described in terms of the creation's love. And in Love Letter 27, Billy wrote that love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. And if it were not for the love of creation, nothing would exist. That's the first creational law as well. The second is striving. Again, I don't know that this has an order, but striving, the atomic building blocks of creation down to the smallest level are dedicated to the striving. And the striving is described on page 100 of the book called The Art of Leaving. And it says when we work, when we strive, it is a source of delectation, which is a kind of satisfaction that we really can't get any other way. And without striving, we have no sense of life. If we pull back on our striving, that will take away from our sense of life, our purpose, our meaning, and we will start to become more aimless and purposelessness and depressed. So it's very important to follow these creational natural laws. For example, the third creational natural law is the law of harmony. And what that means is that you have a neutral, positive, equalized, balanced thinking. Like you could say, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the forger of my own fortune. I'm the creator of my own good luck. But I know that life brings us difficult challenges that we have to face at times. And that is the negative that balances out the positive. So I'm going to be a neutral positive. Then there's this thing called system and order, which means your life should follow a certain precise schedule. If you make it every effort to do that, to follow a precise schedule and do things at the same time, this will also give your life more meaning, and it will, it makes it easier for you to be happy. It's one of these blessings that falls over your life with this system and order. Then there's laws like reincarnation. There's the laws of that fall into that kind of nature. But anyway, I did digress a little bit. Let me get back on the. And this was Emmanuel. It says, "The one with godly knowledge is immemorial and refers to the JHWH. That is to say, the Ishwish knowledge." Because the term Ishwish was erroneously translated as God by the old Hebrews, which have been handed down to the present day. Such must be understood behind the designation of the one with Ishwish knowledge. And to his disciples and disciplesses, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, seek the knowledge and recognize the truth, so that you will understand and become wise." Being named the one with Ishwish knowledge, JHWH, indicates that in the knowledge of the Spirit, spiritual knowledge, I stand spiritually in consciousness above kings and emperors. Therefore, it says that the wisdom is among us. Thus, in the knowledge of the Spirit, spiritual knowledge, I am a king of wisdom among the human species, as the JHWH is the king of wisdom among the celestial sons, who together with the JHWH are the makers of the new human species. So I guess in some ways we are the new human species. So anyway, that is interesting. The father of the species of terrestrial human beings was bred by the celestial son Sannyasa with a terrestrial woman. Sannyasa, the maker of Adam, was a cousin of the commander Sannyasa. The commander Sannyasa, the high commander of the celestial sons, who were the extraterrestrials. Well, one group of extraterrestrials on the earth anyway. But I thought we would look a little bit at those verses in the Talmud of Emmanuel, which I have been enjoying reading lately. They're different. They're definitely different. But maybe that would be a good place to pick up next time in the Talmud of Emmanuel. I talked about striving a little bit. So let me dive back in, and we're running out of time, into the book called The Art zu Leben, The Way to Live. And I read this page a lot. Hopefully it will sink in someday for me. It says, right up to the being in a high, absolutely full development, striving creates the life right up to the being. So striving is what creates your life. Striving means delectation, which is a kind of fulfilling satisfaction in a form which is always fulfilling and progressive. To be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. Affliction is inhibited striving and inhibited life. But inhibited striving and inhibited life bring inhibited evolution and stagnation, hopelessness. So this is a creational natural law. continue to strive, continue to focus, but keep your neutral, positive balance in your thinking. Because if you make yourself miserable when you're striving, it doesn't do you much good. If you don't strive, also you will become miserable. It's like a guarantee. It's a law of the universe. So inhibited striving and an inhibited life, which will bring inhibited life, bring inhibited evolution and stagnation, hopelessness and grief. You know, Billy describes striving in terms of what happens if you don't do it. Confusion, irrationality, joylessness, cognitionless, unpeace, disharmony, lovelessness, resentment, lies, self-deceit, and a reluctance for life, which is interesting. So this is one of these creational natural laws, one of these keys to being happy. And you learn it works with system and order very well. So if you can stick to a schedule while you're striving, it will help that much even more. Therefore, delectation, harmony, and happiness, as well as everything positive, as well as grief and everything negative, are in the end only the revelation of how pronounced the striving is in any life form. Depending on the degree of the strength of the striving of any single vasin, it will assert itself in the world and prevail, or will fail, waste away, and come to an end and vanish. A vasin would be a human being, a cat, a dog, a donkey, any animal fits in a vasin. A vasin has a free will. It has some intelligence. It has a personality. The universal consciousness does not have a personality. A vasin does. And the striving does not end with the death. So when you die, your spirit form comes out of your body and it takes the material consciousness with it. It goes in the spirit realm, which I kind of see as an energy band around the planet. The material consciousness is placed in a storage bank called the overall consciousness block. And the spirit form, examines every part of that material consciousness, goes through everything that you basically did in the previous life, and it takes the evolutive values, those values that you obtain, like wisdom, logic, discernment, decisiveness, confidence, optimism, the ability to relax, the ability to be cheerful, these things, and they are stored as these evolutive values by the spirit form. And they're also used and they program the subconsciousness of the new life. Anyway, thanks for listening. Gosh, we're out of time. It's Friday. I can't believe it's Friday. Have a good day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.